Welcome to the official Cambridge Folk Festival podcast 2008. Part 1. Wednesday.
Well, hello and welcome to the festival's first ever podcast. I'm Phil Pethybridge, and over the next 5 days I will be bringing you a daily insight into the 2008 Cambridge Folk Festival. The podcast aims to enhance the festival for those of you who are going, as well as keep those of you who are not lucky enough to get a ticket, or those who are unable to make it, informed about what happens at this year's festival. Each podcast will include interviews, not only with artists performing at the festival, but will feature other non-musical events happening around the site and interviews with the people who make it all happen. I will also be bringing you the latest news and gossip straight from Cherry Hinton Hall. Well, already there has been a change to the announced lineup this year. Unfortunately, due to illness, John Hyatt has had to cancel his appearance, but singer-songwriter Richard Hawley will be taking his place over the weekend. Unfortunately, I can't tell you when he's performing, otherwise I get my wrist slapped. The festival is now sold out, but you can enjoy coverage from the festival via BBC Radio 2, who will be live from the festival, as well as BBC 4, who will be showing festival highlights at a later date. Now, before you log off your computer, don't forget to check out the festival blog, which will be updated almost hourly over the weekend by the Folk Festival team. It includes photos, videos and news of what is going on at the Folk Festival site. Please don't forget to leave your feedback about the blog and this podcast on the website, as we'd love to hear your thoughts. Right, down to business. With only 1 day until the site opens to the public, well, the residents anyway, the festival is looking less of a construction site and more like a, well, festival. The crew has been on site for a week now, and some even longer, making sure that everything is in place in order for the festival to run smoothly. In this first podcast, I'll be talking to some of the crew who put the festival together, as well as finding out what happens before everyone arrives for the weekend. I decamped from the media tent and set out into the festival to talk to some interesting people who make the festival happen. I came across Bruce, Catherine and Claire, and here's what they had to say.
Hi, my name's Bruce Howard and I'm Technical Officer for Cambridge City Council, and I'm involved with the pre-production and post-production of the festival itself.
So Bruce, you've been here a week now building the festival from scratch. What's it like building a festival from nothing?
Logistically, it's quite difficult, because I mean, obviously you've got the sheer size of the staging, the tents, the electric, the power generators. So we have a crew of about 15, 16 guys. We all start at 8 in the morning, do a 10-hour day. And generally have to fence off the whole site and whitewall it and mark out and get everything in the right positions, basically, and obviously make it safe for the general public. And obviously, because the festival opens on a Thursday, it's paramount that we have it all up and running and ready in time. Hence, we start a week early. I've been doing it, this is my 8th year, I think, 7th or 8th year. I started originally just helping on the main stage, changing the band equipment over. As I sort of progressed through my employment with the council, I've been more involved with the logistical side. It's not too glamorous. It doesn't also involve a lot of van driving, going down to the builders' merchants, picking up wood, timber, tools, that kind of thing, and basically keeping an eye on people as well, make sure that the site crew are doing everything correctly. But it's good fun. I get on with the lads, so it's a bit of a jolly.
What's the hardest part about constructing the festival?
Just the sheer weight of things and the weather. I mean, it's bad either way. It's either it's too hot and you're in a field, or it's raining and it gets the field soaked. And if that's the case, I mean, that slows everything down, because you can't allow lorries on site with the staging equipment, because it just chews up the arena, which is obviously not really a good thing for when the customers arrive. So we've been lucky with weather this year, but I know like a couple of years ago we had very bad rain, and that's slowed up the whole installation by a good 2 days. So yeah, we've been lucky, we're ahead of schedule this time.
Out of all the years you've been at the Folk Festival, what would you say your highlight has been?
Good question. I think it's all good. I just like the I mean, I've worked at other festivals before, and I think this one's good just on the sheer sort of, it's almost like a family. Everyone knows everyone, and it's always the same people every year, so it's more fun. I know it's work, but it's you get to hang out with the bands, you know, band members and the singers, etc., which you don't usually get at other festivals. It's very laid back, there's no one greater than someone, it's very equal level. Everyone serves a purpose, everyone's a cog in the machine, so, and everyone gets appreciated, which I think is always a bonus for morale, obviously.
I'm Catherine Moore, and I'm the stage manager backstage. That means I look after the artists on stage too. So I'm making sure they've got all their catering riders provided and their towels, and that they're generally happy. It's kind of a nurturing role, I suppose, backstage. People have somewhere to sit and go, and they're looked after so they feel comfortable. So I guess, it's important that artists arrive and feel happy. It makes everybody's lives easier. So that's really my function. This is my sixth year at the Folk Festival, and for my first 2 years I was on stage one, and the last 4 years I've been very lucky because I've been stage two, and I really enjoy being on stage two. It has a lovely big oak tree and it's quite chilled out, so it's a nice place to be. And I was asked to come along 1 year because the stage manager who'd been doing it for eons couldn't do it anymore. So I was very lucky to be asked to do it, and I've done it ever since. And I really do it for the love of it. And also, I used to work in a venue and I miss working with musicians, so it's a nice way for me to keep working with musicians and those kinds of people.
Brilliant. And what would you say your greatest folk festival memory is to date?
Well, I'd have to say Hayseed Dixie were a little bit of a moment. I've also really enjoyed Martha Wainwright in the past, and a wonderful woman a few years ago called Mary Gaucher. So there's been some real highlights. Every year I go away and buy a new CD.
So for any festival goers who are listening to this now before they go to the festival, what would you recommend they'd check out this weekend?
I would definitely recommend the Waifs. I saw the Waifs here before I worked here, so about 7 or 8 years ago, and I've never forgotten them. And they're back this year, I think for the first time in 7 years, I guess. And they're Australian and quite a young band. Well, they were then, maybe they're not so much now, but they were wonderful, and everyone talked about them when they left. The other thing I'd really recommend is the Saturday Session, which happens on stage two every year. And just at lunchtime, Brian McNeil hosts a session where loads of different artists performing on different days throughout the festival come together and just jam. And because they all know these kind of old traditional songs, they just know what they're doing, and it always amazes me. And it's even better backstage than on the stage, I think, because everybody's just having a lot of fun and jamming very naturally together. So that's definitely a highlight.
My name's Claire and I work in HQ, and our job is to prioritise all the jobs that are happening on site and all the problems or things that need dealing with.
How long have you been involved with the festival, and have you always done this, or have you done other things?
I've been involved with the Folk Festival for probably about 6 years now, and I work at a lot of other festivals and events across the country.
What would you say your highlights of the Folk Festival has been over the last 6 years working here?
Aside from all the good people that you work with, because they are all really cool here and it's a really relaxed festival, I think band-wise one of my favourites has been the Dole Foundation. They're really dramatic and they gave a really good show, and I really enjoyed that one.
Is there anything you're looking forward to this year that you want to perhaps try and escape HQ to go and see?
There's quite a few bands that are on I'd quite like to see. Joan Armour Trading I'd like to see. We booked her for a festival that we worked at previously, and I didn't actually get to see her from the front, so I'm going to enjoy that one.
This is HQ's Four Radios, just to remind you that we have a safety briefing at 7 o'clock in the club tent, and anyone and everyone is asked to attend, including contractors. Thanks.
The safety briefing takes place the night before the festival opens, bringing together the police, fire service, stewards, security, infrastructure, and all the other folk festival workers to go through important information about the festival, such as fire safety, communication plans, essential information, rules and general procedures. It may not seem that exciting, but for the festival it's a vital meeting, which all workers attend to ensure the festival runs smoothly and to make sure all members of the public have a good and safe time. So, there you go, an insight into how the festival is put together before anyone arrives. Join me tomorrow for the next part of the Cambridge Folk Festival podcast, where I'll be meeting some of the artists performing on the residence evening at the Folk Festival, as well as giving you the latest news from around the site. Thanks for listening, bye for now.
Thank you for downloading the Cambridge Folk Festival podcast 2008. Visit cambridgefolkfestival.co.uk for more podcasts from the festival. This podcast was produced by Neon Podcasts in partnership with the Cambridge Folk Festival.